Can you open with me this morning your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4? Matthew chapter 4. And as we begin this series of Words Matter, I want to read a text of scripture that many of us would have read many times over. And on the surface, yep, that's good. But there's so much in this. And it's going to take us a long time to unpack exactly what Jesus is saying here and what he means. So read with me. I'll read from verse 1 of Matthew chapter 4. And it says this. Then was Jesus led up in the spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards hungered or hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Now, what does that mean? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's what we need to study and unpack over the next couple of months, because that's telling us that there's two dimensions that we need to understand. There's a natural and there's a spiritual. Because the word of God's spiritual. Jesus said it. My words are spirit and they're life. But he said man shall not live by bread alone. So there's a natural life that we live in this world. But there's also a supernatural spiritual dimension that we are to operate in. So he said, we can't just live in a natural plane. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every, not some, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So question, do words matter? The answer is yes, they matter. And we're going to understand as we study why they matter and why they're important to God. So let's begin this journey this morning with Hebrews chapter 11. So can I say this while you're turning there? The words we speak are more important than the food we eat. Amen? The words we speak are more important than the food we eat. And that's going to become more real to us in the weeks ahead. But if you go with me to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. I want to read verse 3. And it says this. It says, "Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God." So how are the worlds framed? By the word. "So the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." Now, when I was a young man, or even a young boy, my concept of heaven was sort of fluffy clouds. Really, literally, it was like fluffy clouds. I mean, why do you want to spend eternity on a fluffy cloud? But what I didn't understand until I became a student of this book, that heaven's more real than planet Earth. Heaven's not spiritual as we understand it. Heaven's real. There's trees and buildings and mountains, streams. There's mansions in heaven, is there not?
Yes.
Many mansions.
Yours is there.
Jesus said, if it wasn't so, I wouldn't have said it. But he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Heaven's real. It's tangible. And it's got dimensions. If you study out the book of Revelation, it gives you the physical dimensions of heaven. If you're an engineer, you're going to see that it's got really high walls. Really high. Heaven's real. So, but the worlds were framed by the word of God. Okay, that's important to understand. And of course, if you go to Hebrews chapter 1, just go back a little bit. Hebrews chapter 1. And And verse 3, and it says this, who being, this is Jesus, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power. Upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty of God on high. Now, the Message Bible puts it this way. He holds everything together by what he says, powerful words. God holds everything together by what he says, powerful words. Upholding all things by the word of his power. Now, it's important to understand that the Bible has much to say about the power of words. In fact, the worlds are created by the word of God and all things are upheld. In fact, the first chapter of Genesis, and you just go there, the first chapter of Genesis, if you turn there, alone and God said is said 11 times. So if you were to read Genesis chapter 1, and God said is referred to 11 times. Now we know what happened in Genesis, the book of beginnings. That's where creation occurred. Now we know right from the first verse of Genesis in the Bible, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the very next verse says, and the earth was without form and void and darkness upon the face of the deep. Who knows how long that period of time was between verse 1 and 2? I don't know, but I'm convinced there was a period of time. Because God creates nothing void. He creates everything with purpose. And that's another message for another time. But we know that God created with words. He spoke words. If God hadn't have spoken light be, we'd be in darkness today. God didn't say, oh, look at the darkness out there. He said, light be. And light was. Now, has God taken that word back? No. Is light creating itself in every direction of the universe? The answer is yes. Science will confirm that. He didn't take the word back. He said light be, and it's still traveling in every direction on that word. Light be. Now, that was his glory. It wasn't the sun. The sun wasn't created until a few days later. That was the glory of God being released. See, God is light. And there's no shadow of turning in him. So God created on words. So have a look at John chapter 1. We're going to go through the scriptures this morning, people. This is where we need to connect Jesus into this. See, if God created with words, and John chapter 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So what is that telling us about Jesus? Jesus in the beginning not only was the Word, but he is God. Is that right? Yep. Have we got that wrong? Yes. Is Jesus God?
Yes.
Yes. He's not a God. Because there are some religions out there that quote this as, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. But the moment you put in the word a God, you've taken the deity out of Jesus. Jesus is the Word of God, and he is God. He's as much God as the Father as the Spirit. They're three, but they're one. Well, it's not hard to understand. An egg is made up of three parts, but it's an egg. A shell, a yolk, and a white. What part's not an egg? Easy. God is made up of three entities, Father, Son, and Spirit. When Jesus was baptized in the Jordan, there was three manifestations of God. Jesus, the Word, the Holy Spirit who appeared as a dove, and the Father saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Did it not? Three manifestations in one event. Don't ever have a problem understanding the triune nature of God, the Trinity. Really, really easy. God's God. He can do whatever he wants. If he wants to be three parts, good on you, God. Go for it. We just need to understand and accept what he says. without theologizing or theologizing, whatever you want to call that word, or trying to make out with big words why that is. No, God said it. The Word is Jesus, and Jesus is the Word. Can I tell you something? If you've got a love for Jesus, a love for Jesus, you're going to have a love for this Word. If you don't have a love for His Word, ask the Father for it. Because the more you love the Word, the more you're going to love Jesus. The more you love Jesus, the more you're going to want to read this book, the Bible, this amazing gift from God. Because you can't separate the two. If you're reading this, your love for Jesus is going to increase. And if your love for Jesus increases, your love for the Word is going to increase. He's the one and the same, Jesus. Now, let's have a look at that. Let's have a look at 1 John 5, 7. Go to the back of the book. I'm just laying a foundation here this morning. 1 John 5, 7. The Bible says in 1 John 5, 7, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one." These three are one. So there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and they're one. So, just go a bit further along to Revelation chapter 19, verse 13. And this verse of Scripture in the Bible is referring to Jesus, if you study it in context. So Revelation chapter 19, verse 13 says this, "And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God." He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. So, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That means the Word was present. He wasn't present as Jesus the man, but he was present as the Word. See, the Word became flesh and dwelt among men 2,018 years ago. That's when he became Jesus the man. See, Mary wasn't the mother of God. She was the mother of a man called Jesus. A blessed woman, but a sinner who needed a Saviour. I know that might shock some religious mindsets, but Mary herself said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Saviour." She wasn't deity. She was a woman that was blessed of God because God was pleased with her. And God used her to carry the Word made flesh in the earth. So, if that's all Mary was called to do, then she'll get her reward in heaven. A blessed woman that raised a young boy, Jesus, into a man who went out and changed the world. Wow. A blessed woman. Indeed. So, understanding that, that Jesus is the Word, and he was in the beginning when God created the world with the Word. So, with that in mind, why are words then so powerful? Well, you don't need to turn there, but you can make a note of it. Proverbs 18:21, and we're going to speak about this, you know, in the days ahead as well. It says, "Death and life is in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." Can I say this? Your words daily, every day, your choice of words, my choices of words, are going to determine our life. Amen. So every day you're making a decision about the direction of your life by your words. If they're God's words, they're going to have a blessing attached. If they're not, they won't. Don't cry out to God when you're screaming to Him saying, "Why God, why God?" When you've never opened the book up, you've never spent time in the Scriptures to find out what His Word says. No, I'm not saying this to be difficult. I'm saying this because this is our life. Jesus said, "Not by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." I didn't say that. Our Lord and Saviour, our Commander-in-Chief said that. We can't live just on natural things. We've got to have the word because we're spirit. Amen. In fact, you know, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, we are a three-part being. In fact, you need to turn there. 1 Thessalonians, very quickly. It's after the book of Colossians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. As much as God is a three-part being, so are we. We're a three-part being also. So the Bible says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now help me with this, people. Was that three?
Yep.
So we're not just body, we're not just spirit, and we're not just soul, but we're one. So we are a spirit being first, and we live in a body. So what I see before me is just your earth suit, so to speak. All I can see is the vessel that houses the spirit. We're earthen vessels, the Bible says. And his glory is resident in us if we're born again. So what I see before me and what you see in respect to me is an earthen vessel. The outward man, that's the body. Now we feed that, but that's not enough. There's an inner man and it's called the spirit. It's called the inner man of the heart, the Bible says, or the new man. That new man was created perfect, perfect, sinless, righteous. That's the only part of you and me that is sinless and righteous. The inner man of the heart, the new man, the new creation. But what the devil does is take your soul realm and try to convince you that you're not perfect. Because the soul realm is your mind, your will, your emotions, your feeler, your chooser, your thinker. That's where the devil's playground is. When you're born again, he cannot touch your spirit. God doesn't do twin share. He doesn't do that. When God occupies your spirit, it's all God. He's not sharing a room with the devil. So we have to understand that there's going to need to be mind renewal. That's in the realm of the soul. That mind renewal comes out of the word that we spend time studying. Because what that does, it affects this, the tongue. Now, why is that important? Well, it's important because we need to understand what God did at the beginning with man. Go back with me to Genesis. This is so important. So we discovered death and life in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Why is it so powerful? Well, go with me to Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. I want us to look at a few things here which are really, really important. I'll read from verse 26 of Genesis first in the Bible. The word says this. God said, let us make man in our image and our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his image, and in the image of God created him, male and female created he them. Verse 27, and God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. He created man in his likeness. So is God a spirit? He's a spirit. So for God to create man in his own image or likeness, he would have to create man spirit. Now, did he do that?
Yes.
Let's have a look at that in chapter 2, verse 7, Genesis. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. Now, he formed him of the dust of the ground, but that's just the body. Remember, we talked about body, soul, and spirit. He formed man of the dust of the ground, and then he did something. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That word breath is translated spirit. Wind. It's translated spirit. It's exactly the correct translation. And if you were to look up in John 20, 22, where Jesus breathed on the disciples and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost," it's the exact same translation of Genesis 2, spirit. So what God did, he took man who was a body, lifeless, and he breathed spirit into the body and he became a living soul. The best Hebrew translation of that you could get is he became a living, speaking spirit. No, you missed that, didn't you? A living, speaking spirit. Well, God gave us the ability to be a living, speaking spirit because he wanted us to reproduce, to have dominion, to take authority over. The reason why he gave us the same creative power as himself, yes, the same creative power was so that we could do the very thing that the blessing required of man. If we weren't a living, speaking spirit, we could never have dominion. We could never have authority. Didn't Jesus have authority over circumstances in the natural? Did he have authority over plants? If he said there's no fruit hereafter, there was no fruit. Didn't he have authority over wind and waves? Yes. Why? Spirit. Well, do we have that authority? Yes. Now, whether we choose to exercise that authority. Now, I've heard many accounts over the years of people living in tornado belts and, you know, born again, faith-filled believers said, "You're not coming here," and it turns away. Lucky? No. Living, speaking spirits. Speaking truth out, speaking what their authority and dominion is. So if we've got the power to turn one away, I reckon we've got the power to land one on our front doorstep. Well, you know, this is going to get us. It did last time. How are we going to avoid this? It's going to destroy our home. And it does. The power of words. And it all comes back to Genesis 2, 7, because we were created as a living, speaking spirit. So that spirit could fulfill the blessing. Now we know what happened. We know it all went pear-shaped with Adam and Eve. And it took Jesus to get Eden back in the earth. Eden is back, people. The blessing is back with us. If we choose to walk in the fullness of it, we have been redeemed from the curse of the law, Galatians 3:13. We're not under a curse. For any of you and me to accept any form of sickness in our bodies at any time is to bow to the curse. If you're a living, speaking spirit, and you are, and I am, then we have authority to speak to this body which is subordinate to the spirit. The body is subordinate. It's under the spirit. It's not dominant. The only one who's dominant out there is a world who's got a dead spirit. So they operate soul, body, spirit. All their head, all their mind directs where they go, and all their flesh, all their carnal lusts direct them. But their spirit's dead to the things of God. Not so with us. If the word's in your heart. Because the word's in your heart, I'll tell you right now, it'll purge sickness out of you. It will purge sickness out of you. I didn't say that. Jesus said it in Proverbs chapter 4. And the word is life to those that find them and health or medicine to your flesh. Now, do we believe that? No, really, I mean, do we believe that? Amen. As a faith church that believes in Jesus, if you believe that, you'll act like it's true. You'll get up when your body's racked with pain and you'll go off to work thanking you, Jesus, I'm healed. And you know what? Soon as you go, like the lepers, you'll be cleansed. Or you can sit in bed and woe is me. But you know what? Your words will determine what you get that day. How about you? But I'm not going to let the devil steal one day out of my being. I'm not going to let him do it. He's stolen enough from me. He's not going to steal more. So when we get a hold of this and we realize that we're not here doing religion, we're not here just doing church, we're here because he commanded us to be fruitful, to multiply, to replenish the earth, to have dominion and authority over the earth. And we only do that by words. Words matter. Because if we don't get the words right, we get what we say. Amen. We can have what we say, good or bad. And God doesn't want us having a curse. He redeemed us from the curse. But you know what? Too many precious believers, including myself, often say what I have and not what I want. I'm declaring what my situation is, not what I desire it to be. This is my situation. I rehearse it, I rehearse it, I rehearse it. It becomes mine. I'm telling you now, you test your words and you tell me if this isn't real. You're getting what you're saying. Every time. If your circumstances in your life are not what you want, do an order of the words you speak. If you're saying what you is, you're going to keep it. It can't change because it's spiritual law. Only the church can understand this. The body of Christ, more global, I mean. I believe we as a church do. But we're going to have what we speak. That's what he said. So if we take the words and we confine them to what God's word says, you're going to get a harvest on that seed sown. Why? We're a living, speaking spirit. You can't remove yourself from that reality. You can't die. You'll live for eternity. Those that know Jesus will be with him for eternity. Those that don't are going to be condemned to a Christless eternity without him. It's not God's best, because he loved the world and he gave his son for us. Now, I'm here today preaching the gospel because I said yes to Jesus and so did you.
Amen.
We use words. We declared our allegiance to him because we believed first in our heart. So, quickly, go with me to James. I hope this is stirring your heart because it's stirring mine, I can tell you. James chapter 2. Verse 26. And you know what? For the next 2 months, I'm not going to let up on this truth because we have to burn this into our spirit as a revelation. If you get this revelation, you will never be the same again. It'll change the way you speak and it'll change everything about your life. If you want to be something in life and you believe it's in your heart, keep declaring it. Keep declaring it. Thank him for it. Thank him for it every day. If there's something in your circumstance that needs to change, faith is always now. Keep declaring what it is. I was saying this morning before we started church, God doesn't operate in time. We do. The moment you put a time frame on God, you've come back to the natural plane. That's not where faith operates. Faith says, I believe I receive. When it comes, it's not my problem. It's already there in the spirit. God's not governed by time. When you say, God, I need it by Sunday, he ignores you. What Sunday mean to God? Faith is now. It's always now. When you speak and you believe you receive, you've got it. That's how faith works. Can you see why we've got to teach on this before prayer? We've got to get this right first. Because your prayers, whoa, if they're not right, I'll tell you, you can ask for things you don't want. And I want people around me when I have a need praying unbelief. I need people in faith. Amen. And so do you. All right. Go with me to chapter 2 and verse 26. And this supports what we're saying. It says here, for as the body without the spirit is what?
Dead.
So faith without works is dead also. That word spirit. You know what it means? Breath. It means breath. The body without the spirit or the breath, God breathed life and you became a spirit. It's the same thing. The body without the spirit is dead. Now let's come back to what Jesus said. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, because we've got a spirit being that needs to be fed. There are a lot of healthy bodies with corrupt spirits in them. Shouldn't be. A lot of healthy bodies out there with corrupt spirits. But that's not God's plan and God's best. Yes, we need to look after the temple because if the temple corrupts, spirit's going home. Body without the spirit, dead. But the spirit that's alive in us will affect your body.
Amen.
It'll make your youth renewed like the eagles. It'll keep you healthy. It'll keep your mind sharp. It'll ward off dementia and cancer and bondage and pressures and oppression and depression. Why? Because the word is spirit. And that's the real you. Your body's just a shell. But if your spirit's corrupted because you've spoken words of death over it every single day of your life, what do you expect God to do? What's he going to do for us? When he says, I've given you life, choose it. But if you choose death, so be it. I set before you life or death, blessing or cursing. Choose it. The only thing God won't do for you and me, he won't choose the word you speak. If he could do that, he would have grabbed my tongue when I was 10 and said, Jesus, you're my Lord. He never did that. Took me till I was 30 years of age, walking blind, sitting in church every Sunday, learning nothing about the kingdom of God and going to hell. What's that? That's not gospel. I tell you what, if it hadn't have been for this book, the Bible, I'd be a sinner still today going to hell. But this Bible changed me. Because I read things in there that quickened my spirit, because man doesn't live on bread alone. It quickened my spirit and I became alive in Christ, and I've had a desire for it ever since. And I can tell you something, and I'll declare this for the day I go home, he's kept me healthy ever since too. Because I believe this book. I believe this truth. If Jesus bore sickness for me, why should I carry it for a day? And why should you? You wouldn't know what I had. I wouldn't tell you. I don't give the devil that glory. I glorify God with words. I declare health. You've got to. This is a battle. Satan wants to take you out. But he can't if you don't let him. Because death and life is in the power of the tongue. You're the author of your destiny. So am I. Whew. It's awfully quiet in here. All right. You with me on this? Amen. All right. Our words are building blocks which construct our lives in future. Our words set the cornerstone of our lives, and therefore we live within the confines of that boundary created by our own words. Our lives are constructed with our words. Your marriage is constructed with your words. Your health, your children. Don't speak death over your children. Speak life over them. Keep calling them back. If they're out there in the world, call them back. They'll come. In God's time, your position is one of faith. You can't be in fear and faith at the same time. You can't. You can't be in fear and faith at the same time. One has to override the other. How many times? Over 60 times in the Bible, you'll see the phrase, fear not. An angel turns up. The first thing is, fear not, because fear contaminates faith. Of course they say, fear not. I've come as a messenger of the Lord to deliver something to you. He said it to Zechariah, and he said it to Mary. Fear not. Fear not. I'll tell you what, if you and I had an angel manifesting in our bedrooms one night, we'd probably get the shivers too. And they'd say, fear not. Because you know what? We can't operate in faith and fear at the same time. Can't do it. But if the word's in our heart, it'll rise up when we need it the most. All right, the Bible said, you can take a note of that, that we are saved by words. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. If we confess with our heart, with our mouth, and we believe in our heart, that's what it says, doesn't it? We confess with our mouth, we believe in our heart. Our words dominate our world. Now, we'll see how far we get with this morning. I said earlier that we can have what we say. Is that true?
Yep.
We can have what we say?
Yes.
All right. Well, I'd imagine that that doesn't just apply to the good side of life. That applies on both sides of the equation. We can have what we say, both good and bad, both blessing and curse. Go with me to Mark chapter 11 and verse 23 and 24. Now, when Jesus taught his disciples how to exercise their faith, he told them to speak, believe, and receive. That's the way of faith. You speak, you believe, and you receive. Now, this particular verse of Scripture would be one of the greatest principles of faith in the whole Bible. And it's important we understand it because it is foundational to us receiving from God. So we speak, we believe, and we receive. Let's have a look at it. Mark 11:22. And if you were to read this in context, we know that Jesus is making reference to a fig tree that he spoke to. He said, there'll be no fruit on you hereafter forevermore. That was it. And he walked away. Next day they came back. The tree had dried up from the roots. The roots. That means you don't always see in the natural first what's happening inside. The tree died up from the root, not from the leaves, from the roots. And of course, here's Jesus' response. Verse 22, Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Well, firstly, we're going to have to put our faith in someone. Amen? And it better be God. Better be God. Don't put faith in your own ability. Don't put faith in your knowledge of Scripture. Don't put faith in your pastor or a friend or your mother or your grandmother's faith. Put faith in God and God alone. Amen. He goes on to say, for verily or truly I say to you that whosoever, are we a whosoever? Does that include us? All right. Whosoever shall say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. Now, it didn't say you can't doubt in your head. It said don't doubt in your heart. Don't doubt in your heart. Fill your heart with the word and you won't doubt. You're going to get doubts in your head like I do from time to time. But that's not where the doubting occurs. The doubting occurs in the spirit. It's in the heart where faith is produced, not in the head. It says don't doubt in your heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass. He'll have whatever he says. Can you have what you say? Yes. And every one of us are getting what we say. Every one of us are getting what we say 24/7, 7 days a week, 52 weeks of the year, 365 days of that year, for as long as we live. You and I are getting what we say because it's a principle of faith. Faith works in two realms, in the positive and in the negative. You can have faith in your words that will bring you to an early grave because you speak it. And then we all go and have a eulogy and say, why, Lord, did you take that precious saint of God away? Well, the reality was that they wouldn't shut their mouths. They wouldn't zip the lip. They kept speaking death over their bodies. I'm serious, people. We'll go and we'll lift those photos up and talk precious things. But the reality is they had more to give. Years to give God. Now they're in heaven and praise God, they're in heaven. But that wasn't God's best and plan. He wanted them to serve him fully on the earth. Words matter. Words are everything. They've got to be everything. God created with words. What? And we think we're not? You think it's not going to apply to us? If God created everything with words and we're made in his image and his likeness and we're a living, speaking spirit, our words are not going to have the same impact? Yes, they are. In the natural and in the spiritual, for good or for evil. For good or for evil. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Garbage. Garbage. Satan loves that one. Or sticks and stones may break, but words won't harm me. Words will kill you. Death and life's in the power of the tongue. Why do you think the devil gets these little sayings and cliches in? You know, only the good die young. Garbage. With long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation, the word says. But we, oh yeah, that's funny. Yeah, only the good die young. Well, that's not what the word says. But I tell you what, you speak it long enough, it'll become yours. And mine. Got to teach this stuff. This is Christianity. This is where the power is. This is where we go as being, you know, just a bunch of believers just, you know, getting on by and by to being empowered by the Spirit to all that God's called us to do. And this is a training ground for us. We do boot camp before we go out into the battle against the kings. And that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be coming against the kings. Before you take the promised land, You've got to prepare. In the case of Israel, it was 40 years preparation. Well, it won't be that long for us, Lord. Thank you. My word spoken. It won't take that long. But the point is, they needed to learn a lesson before they could take out 31 kings. Now, those kings represent the demonic realm. So we think, oh, we just walked in the promised land, you know, Joshua, and it was all roses. They all just said, please come in. No, they had to take out 31 kings before they settled in the promised land. And do you think that we're just going to walk in and just take the stuff back from the devil without a fight? You're kidding. And I'll tell you where the fight is. In your mind. In your mind. At some stage in the next few weeks, we're going to talk about thoughts. Because the Bible says, don't take the thought and say it. Don't take the thoughts saying. Well, if he says don't take the thoughts saying, that means that thoughts produce things which come out in words. And if those words aren't his words, he says don't say it. Thoughts without words are just aborted seed. Think about it. If your thoughts don't convert into words, they're aborted. They don't produce, but the moment they become a word, they sow, good or bad. Because he says, I'll say it again, verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive, when you pray, and you shall have them. You'll have them. We can have what we say. Of course, he goes on about, you know, when you're praying, if you have an issue with someone, make it right. Make it right before God. So, see, Jesus never looked at the fig tree but once when he spoke to it. That was it. He never looked at it again because he knew the power of his words. He understood this principle, why he was there in the beginning when the words created. We have to understand that principle too. The process of faith works from the inside out. Understand this. That's why we can't evaluate its effectiveness by what we see or feel in the natural realm. It starts inwardly and comes out. The tree died from the root and then it was seen in the outward. We can't evaluate our faith successes based on natural eyes. You can't do that. It'll not only cause you to wane and waver, it'll cause disappointment and discouragement because God never wanted you to determine your faith reception based on what you see, feel, touch, taste, smell, or hear. He wanted you to believe based on what he said. If he said it, will you believe what he said and will you receive? I came back to what I said before. You speak, you believe, and you receive. You speak to the mountain, you believe in your heart, and you take it. That word receive means to take it. You take it. Now, why do you take healing to your body? Why do you take it? I'll tell you why you take it. It's yours. It's yours. It's in a deposit for you. It's in a bank called Grace. It's a big bank, full of blessings. It's yours. Why do you take that? Because it's your right. Why do you take a sound mind? Because he said you've been given a sound mind. That's why you take it. Why do you reject oppression and depression and anxiety? It's not yours. It's the devil's. Why would you take what's his trash? You take God's goodness and his mercy and his grace. You come boldly to the throne to receive grace and mercy in a time of need. If you've got a need, go to the throne. Go to the throne. You'll find grace here. And in that grace is exactly what you need. You just thank you, Father. I take that. He says, of course you can. Come take it. Come take it. It's yours. It's yours. Receive. By faith. By faith. Your words matter. My words matter. Let's bring this to a bit of a close. So what have we learned so far this morning? One thing we understand is this. That our destiny on planet Earth, the call that God has on our lives, whether it be individually or corporately as a church, are 100% governed by what we speak by faith. Amen. Do we agree with that?
Yes.
Okay. That's a principle that we can't escape from. If we don't speak life over this church, then we're condemning it. If we don't speak faith over this church and its people, then we're cursing with our words. Can we curse with our words? Oh, yes, you can. You can. You can absolutely curse yourself with your words. We don't want to do that. Why? Because we've been created living, speaking spirits. That's what we are. That's why we're above angelic class. We're not like the animal kingdom. We didn't come from monkeys. They don't have a speaking spirit. We didn't come from monkeys. I know it's funny, but we didn't come from there. That's just man's weak attempt to justify what he doesn't understand because he wants to do it without God. That's what Babel was about. Let's build a name for ourselves, forget God. And God said, ain't going to happen, boys. I'm going to change the way you speak. Isn't that interesting? Because they were one voice. Oh, there's a message there in itself. They are of one voice. I'm convinced those disciples, when Jesus breathed on them, they received the Holy Ghost. You know, I believe they got born again then because they're in the upper room and they're of one accord. Yes. You tell me how anyone can be of one accord without the Spirit of God. You can't. No one out there can be of one accord without the Spirit of God. They got the Spirit breathed in. They got breath, life breathed into them. And that allowed them to be of one accord. And then they were empowered for work through the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which we heard about last week. Great message from Joe, amen? Great message. But you can't be of one accord without the Spirit. I'm going to say this, and we'll talk about this in a few weeks. We're going to look at James. Did you know no one in this room can tame their tongue without the Spirit, including me? None of us can tame the tongue. But if we allow the Spirit of God to get a hold of us, if we allow the Spirit of God to lead this quickened, living, speaking Spirit, then our words are going to reflect His words. Our words are going to have the same dominating power as the words that Jesus spoke. And that's what we're going to have a look at next week. We're going to look at the words that characterize the ministry of Jesus Christ. Amen.